Amen. How many are happy this morning? All right, a quarter of you. God bless you. How many of you are happy this morning? Amen. Amen. I just kind of get used to people sharing. Is it all right if I just kind of wander around? People sharing and getting a response out of you. So today I want to share something with you as we get into the Word of God. In these last few days, or say last few months, God has really put something upon my heart about clarity, having understanding. And because sometimes when we pray, we are very vague in what we pray. But how many know when we pray, we ought to pray with a understanding? Amen? Amen. So as we get into today, I'm not going to be very long. I know we have communion today, right? No? Well, yeah, it's next week. It's just for decoration today. But I'm going to talk about communion now. But clarity. But before we get into that, let's open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Father God, you said no man knows the time or the hour, but we know the season in our spirits. Understand what season we are living in. Father God, Ephesians 5:17 says that Father, redeem the time, for the times are evil. Father, we know the times are evil, but Father, this is the preparation time. We are redeeming time. And Father God, in that, we thank you that we can receive understanding on by faith to walk in and to see all that you have for us in this place. Father God, we thank you that you are using us, your body. We thank you, Father God, that Lord, Father, from this place, many lives will be touched. Many people will be healed. Many blind eyes will be opened. Many deaf ears will be opened. Father God, we thank you that cancer will go when people lay hands on the sick. We thank you, Father God, that as they go out, Father, the lame will walk, Father. We thank you that as we go out of here, Father, your body will not be hearers only, but will be doers of the word. And Father, you will always get the glory. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is our foundation. It's a sword, a sharper than any two-edged sword, that Father God, it will go where no doctor can go. It will go where no psychiatrist can go. And it will produce the perfect will of God. So Father, we thank you for it. And we thank you for your precious spirit in this place. And Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praises in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So as I was sharing, we want to bring a little clarity. So in that, I started to study into the Word of God, and I started to see two things. I'm just going to touch on this, but this is not what I'm going to be talking about. But there's a difference. How many know there's a difference between provision and prosperity? Now, this is only the beginning. So we're not talking on this. We're going to talk about healing. People get kind of antsy when I talk about money. But provision and prosperity. But how many know prosperity is not just about money? Amen. I mean, you can have all the money in the world be dying of a sickness. We need to be prosperous in health. Amen. But the mentality we have gotten from the world is prosperity is just about money. Well, I want to be prosperous in my family. I want to be prosperous in my community. Health, wealth, and success in all areas. Amen? Amen. So we're not talking about prosperity. But there's a difference between provision and prosperity. Matthew 6:26. Now I'm going to start reading really quick because I don't want to keep you here really, really long, because I've been starting to preach like 2 or 3 hours now. So we'll cut that down to half an hour, okay? No, I'm just kidding. We'll be short. Matthew 6:26 says this: Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap not in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye much more than they? How many of you have seen a blinged out bird lately? Pigeon walking down the road with attitude, right? Got some bling on. We haven't seen blinged out birds. Why? Because birds don't sow, so they don't reap. They don't gather in barns because they do not reap. But God gave you the faith and the word to put this into action. Well, you know, they don't reap, so, Or they don't sow, so they don't reap. Well, he has put it to you. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Amen? He says that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But he goes on to say, he says, and your father feedeth for them, talking about provision. Are they not much better than they? Well, we know Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Understand this. We will never outgrow provision. Amen? When you talk about the tithe is to protect your inheritance. It is to protect your investment as you tithe. But he says, will a man rob God? Yet you'd rob me in tithes and offerings. So there's a seed is in your offering. That's where the increase. I'll tell you this, and I want to share this with our church. You know, I've been working in my job for 17 years, and that doesn't seem like a long time because I look really young. But in 17 years, I've only started to see increase because we've always been a tither. We have always tithed. At the beginning, it was struggle to tithe because we could use the tithe. But then it came to the place where we began to worship God with our tithe. And then after that, we started to sow seed. And only then, when I started to give offerings above and beyond my tithe, I started to feel at rest. Because I started to sow seed and I started to reap. Well, I don't want to get too much into this because I can talk about this all day. I like that because people need to understand there's clarity. Now, as I said before, we cannot outgrow God's provision. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He'll provide for you. He loves you. That's a part of the blessing. He loves you. He doesn't want to see you without. So we get to the place where the love of God starts to provide. But then he, as understanding that you are his children, he wants you to go above and beyond the birds. Do you believe God sees you above and beyond the birds? Well, some of us think, yeah, my cousin is such a bird brain. You know, no, we won't go there. But anyway, she got it. Anyway, the blessing. In Genesis 1:28, it says this, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Well, what's that mean? Be fruitful means abundance. Multiply means to increase. And it says to replenish means to restore, recover, or redeem. Subdue means to overcome, prevail, and get to victory. Dominion, as we know it today, is faith. He said, speak to the mountain and command it to move. How many know you are using the dominion of the blessing that God put in Genesis chapter 1 today by faith? But today, I just want to share with you clarity. So now I understand my provision and I understand prosperity. I understand the tithe and I understand the seed, to sow the seed. So there comes clarity in that. But today I want to share something with you in the understanding of miracles and healing. Miracles and healing. This is what I want to share with you today. So how many know that God's will for you is to be healed? Well, what is the will of God? Well, it's very easy if we come to understand. I've heard it this way. You can know the full will of God for your life or understand the full will of God and just think of what was in the Garden of Eden and what wasn't. There was no sickness when God created the Garden of Eden. There was no turmoil. There was no lack. I mean, God, it was perfect. Well, think about this. What's in heaven and what's not? Because God is not going to live in a place that is outside of his will. Well, there's no sickness. There's no tears. I mean, there's all these things that you can think about. Heaven, we've have people gone on to, you know, graduated home. And they've gone on. We know, we've heard the stories. We can read the Bible and we can understand all that heaven is. Well, there's no sickness in heaven. There's no, as we said, turmoil. There's no lack in heaven. The roads are paved with gold. Amen? Amen. That gets me excited. I don't know about you, but it gets me excited. So in that, we have to know the will of God is for you to be healed. So in Matthew 8, 5 and 8, it says, I'm going to read it. I got all my scriptures here. And when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, and when he entered the centurion besieged him, he said, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. How many know that as he spoke, the servant got healed that very moment? A miracle. Instantaneous. Well, let's go to Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 42. I'm going to just read it. And there came a leper unto him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, because God is love, amen, but put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, or in other words, he's saying, my will is for you to be clean. And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. There is a difference between healing and miracles. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now we're going to get into the word. I think I did pretty good in that, my foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Amen. Now I can't even find it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Pastor. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another the prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and so on and so on. Can you see that there is a difference? There is a gift of, it says, healing, and then there is a gift of miracles. It's a difference, it's a separation. Both of them work to your benefit. We have to understand that healing is progressive, while miracles are instantaneous. Let me say that again. Miracles are progressive, healings are instantaneous. As I'm going to share here in a moment, let's go to John chapter 4. Understand this. If we had every person here, as you're turning to John chapter 4, every person that needed healing, and we prayed, and I laid hands on you, because the Bible says, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Every one of you that we prayed, we agreed, laid hands on you, each and every one of you were healed by faith in Jesus Christ. Now you, as soon as your mind, your carnal mind would sit here and it would say, but I don't feel anything. It's your mind goes at exactly to what you feel. I don't feel anything. Well, faith isn't about feelings. Feelings will add up after your faith is activated. Amen? If we really believe the Bible, and we start to walk by what it says, lay hands on the sick, and then they shall recover, we understand that as we start to speak the word, as you start to receive, I am healed in Jesus' name, by his stripes I am healed, you are healed. Now, we start to receive the word on the inside, and we start to walk it out, day by day, week by week, hour by hour. It starts to work. It progresses in your body until the finished product is you being whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen? Well, let's look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 49. And it says this. And a nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And when he was going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. And he inquired, he started to ask, at what hour he, what? Listen to this word. Began to amend. The healing started to work. And it started to progress, he says. And when did it start? He says, the hour he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And his father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Mark chapter 8, there's a story when Jesus prayed for the blind man. The blind man says, he says, What do you see? He says, I see men as trees. Then he prayed for him again. And then the second time, he says, I can see clearly. Now, the rain is gone. It's all right, you can laugh. This is church. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Full of glory. Amen? Joy and full of glory. No, but he could see. There, healing is progressive. Healing happens. I mean, we can come to the place where we go and visit the sick and we pray. We may not see a full turnaround at that very moment, but I want to tell you that it is working. You got to see beyond your carnalness and say, God is, I didn't give cancer lordship over my life. I did not give diabetes lordship over my life. I gave Jesus to be Lord over my life. So when I receive of him, everything else must go. So we must, by the word, I like as it says, by the washing of the word. I like that scripture because it says, by the washing of the water of the word. I mean, when you get up, when you feel dirty, you take a shower. You feel better. Well, we get into the word of God and it starts to wash us. It starts to purify us and we start to walk it out. I start to walk, you know, I don't have to live according to what my body dictates. No, but the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. He quickens or makes alive my mortal body. And I say, my body line up with the word of God in the name of Jesus. It's faith that receives what Jesus has paid for. By his stripes, you, Old Testament, are healed. New Testament, we're healed. So if you are, you were, you is. Amen? Proper English. You is healed. Amen. Well, let's look at miracles because I get excited about miracles. Jesus walked and immediately... Suddenly, I like those words. Those words just followed him wherever he went. Suddenly, immediately. But let's turn to Mark or Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. You're going to like this. Let's look at the difference here. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we'll start in verse 11. And when it came to pass, and when he went to Jerusalem, when he passed through in the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into the certain village and met them 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go yourselves to the priest. And when it came to pass that they were all went, they were all cleansed. And one of them had... And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Where are the other ten? Were not the other ten cleansed? But were there not nine? I'm getting tongue-tied. There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. So let's talk about this just for a moment. There were 10 lepers. They would have heard about Jesus somewhere or somehow. Because the Bible says Jesus' fame went before him. People heard about the blind eye opener, the dead raiser. They heard about the ears opening. They heard about the lame walking. So it says this was a strange phenomenon because when you study it out, lepers never hung around together. Leprosy was a death sentence. So when they looked upon each other, they would just see death. And they would say they would become isolated. But here are 10 of them together. They heard, how many know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God? So they heard somewhere about Jesus, and they gathered, congregated together, waiting for him because they knew he was coming. And when they saw him afar off, they stood there saying, Jesus, heal us. And they knew whatever he would say they would do, their faith was activated. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as soon as they heard, they put it in action and they started to go and show themselves to the priest. Why did that? If you go into, I believe it's Leviticus, there's a whole bunch of stuff to show yourself cleansed of leprosy. There's a whole bunch of things you would have to do before the priest. There's so many ceremonies and so many things. So that's why Jesus said, go show yourself that you're cleansed. And they started to go as soon as they heard the word of God. They noticed they were cleansed. So they didn't have any type of the mentality that he's not going to shun us away. No, we are cleansed. But one noticed he was cleansed. And he knew where he received that healing from. And he turned and he went and he fell at the feet of Jesus, the source of his healing, because he received the word and then he received the action. He walked it out and he heard and he went and bowed at the feet of Jesus in thankfulness. How many are thankful for what God's brought you through? Amen. We've been through some stuff, but I'm an overcomer. I know who brought me through. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. So that one leper came and just started to glorify Jesus, thanking him for what he has done. What did Jesus say? Arise, go. Your faith has made thee what? Not healed, whole. What's that mean? Well, I had to study because I had to look this up. Sometimes the progression of leprosy would deform, would eat away at appendages. Maybe some of those lepers didn't have noses. Maybe fingers fell off or something like that, but they were healed. So they were healed. The leprosy stopped, and they had to go to the priest to do all the things. This is, if you're wondering, this is my priest. They had to go to the priest, and they had to go and do all the things the priest required, and then he would deem them clean to go back into society. But that doesn't mean everything was returned. But that one leper, he could have had missing a nose, a finger, or something. He could have been to the place, but he knew that in his body, the leprosy stopped because of what Jesus said, and he turned around to go to the source and worship the source in thankfulness. And what did Jesus say? Rise up, your faith, the very one who came to receive from the source. Because I was like this, because if we get to the place of I love looking at the words manifestation or demonstration, we could be chasing those things forever. But we ought to be chasing and in the presence of the one who manifests and who shares the demonstration. Moses knew God. The children of Israel knew about him. They knew his works. But Moses knew him. There's a place that we need to get into his presence, into the place where you can hear, listen, and obey, and just walk in knowing that he is going before you, making the crooked places straight. He is there for you. Who can be against you? Hey, I want to tell you that we need to get to the place that we know that you know that you know that you know he is there with you. Amen? Amen. So that one man, Jesus said, arise, go, and show yourself. Or he didn't say that. He said, arise, go, thy faith has made thee whole. Amen? He didn't have to go back to the priest. Why? Because he was made whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. He looked like everybody else. There was nothing wrong with him. Where the other nine would have to go and be cleansed and be deemed clean, they could have a deformity, but they were deemed clean in the priest's eyes. He had to give them the seal of, they were cleansed. They all walked by faith. But that one, he didn't have to go to the world. He didn't have to go to the doctor. He just walked in the miracle. Healing miracle. There's a difference. I'm praying for miracles today. Amen? There's two other stories. The woman with the issue of blood. For she said, amen? We know that story in and out. And at the end, he says, arise, go. Thy faith has made thee whole. She was made whole. Blind Bartimaeus. It says that Jesus went to, I believe it was Jericho. And then another scripture says, as he was passing through. So there was nothing in that city that stopped him until he came to the outer courts when these two men, and Bartimaeus was saying, oh, the son of David, have mercy on me. We know the rest of the story. It says that Jesus called him out. Amen? Jesus called him out. And when he said, we got to read the story. Can we read it? Can we read it really quick? Because this is really dynamic in it. Mark chapter 10. I'm just going to start reading Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And when they came to Jericho, and when he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus and the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when they had heard it was Jesus, he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried even more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee. And casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, what will thou that I should do to thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive feeling back in my big toe. No, he didn't say that. Where was his faith? His faith was that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Here's what I like about this story. Blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside. And he has this garment on because some writings will tell you they needed a legal garment to be able to beg. It was like a license. I'll show you in a minute. And Bartimaeus is there, and he's hearing this crowd go by. And I believe I shared this once here already. I already sense it. And the crowd already goes by. Well, Jesus doesn't follow the crowd. He what? Leads the crowd. So the crowd already went by, and he's like, what's this crowd about? And they said, Jesus, just walk by. And he said, all of a sudden, he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And what does the crowd do? Shut up! Right? Shut up, blind man. Or maybe they knew him, Bartimaeus. And then he says he even got louder. He got bolder because he was receiving something that nobody else knew in that crowd, but he needed a touch from Jesus. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David. Why is that key? because he understood the lineage of who Jesus is. Not just Jesus the healer, not just Jesus the miracle maker, Jesus the real person. He understood the Son of God was right there in his midst. So now everybody's saying, "Shut up, Bartimaeus." Then all of a sudden it says, Jesus stood still. How many know Jesus was going somewhere? He was just not wandering. He was going somewhere. But faith got a hold of him. The compassion in Jesus stood still and said, "Bring him forth." And blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside, it says, took off his garment. Either two things. Either he says, "I am not going to be linked to this no longer." Or because it was a long gown, somebody could have stepped on it and it could have held him back. He says, "Nothing is holding me back from getting my miracle." And he went forth. Now the crowd is all nice. "Oh, come on, blind Bartimaeus. Come on, come on, blind man." You know, they're all nice now because Jesus says, "Bring him forth." So he comes and he receives his healing. And then he follows Jesus. But understand, it was faith that inactivated. There is a difference between healing and miracles. Why am I sharing with this with you today? I believe, and as I prayed it in the very beginning, I believe we are in the place, the season, that God is going to start to use his body like never before. And we have to know that no matter if you lay hands on them, you start to minister to them, tell them to get into the word and start to receive it and say and keep praying with them. Say, healing is progressive. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not working. It's working. Next time I come to see you, you're going to even look better and better and better. Amen? But we need to start to believe in miracles. I believe the church has kind of sat back because we don't see the miracles like we used to. But now we need to start to imagine, start to get our mind on the goodness of God and start to believe in blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, the lame walking, the sick being healed. We need to believe in immediately, suddenlies again. Amen. Amen. And we need to say, we need to believe that we have an authority to speak to sickness, to speak to certain things and cast them out. We need to believe in that authority once again. And we need to get excited about it, not, "Oh, do I have to do this again? Father God, please heal him, Lord Jesus, amen." I don't have to lay hands on people. I get to lay hands on people. Amen. There's an excitement that, hey, God is using me to do something in his will. Hey, it's not about me. No, it's not about Pastor Murray. It's not about who can do it. It's all about God. But hey, I get to be the hands on this earth. Amen? And I get excited about it. His goodness, his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness is working through me. Amen? He is real. Don't let this turn into a religion. We need to understand that manifestation and demonstration are only manifestation and demonstrations are only administered or administration through his body. You are called to administer healing through Jesus Christ. Did not he say he sent out his disciples working with them? Amen? He didn't just go out by himself, his spirit. No, he says, go out. He didn't call you to do anything great for him. He says, I called you to do, I'm going to do something great with you. Amen? How many, I cannot heal a flea of myself. He's too small. I cannot do anything of my own strength, but it's who Jesus is, the healer, the provider. He's the answer. We need to get excited because all the problems that people are facing on the earth, you have the answer. Amen? You have the answer. Have you ever tried to do a puzzle or some type of Rubik's Cube and you just got frustrated and threw it down? That's me. I'm just kidding. But you get mad, frustrated. That's how the world is. They are at frustration because they do not understand. They don't have the answer. But you do in Christ Jesus. So we pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding. I pray now. I expect miracles to happen. I expect healings to happen. I expect people to be blessed financially. I expect things to happen. Why? Because God's not coming for a beat up, beat down, slapped up, slapped around church. He's coming for a glorious church. Amen? Amen. It says he's coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. All you women go, amen. No wrinkles, no spots, no blemishes. Woo! Amen. And some of you men. No, he's coming for a church on fire for him. A church that's so in love with him. A church that's excited to know that, hey, somebody a moment ago was lying on their deathbed, but I went to lay hands on him and Jesus healed them. Because I've seen it happen. Amen? I've seen it. We got a call one day, and I'm going to end with this. A gentleman, all his life, was an alcoholic. His skin, when we went to see him, his skin was discolored for jaundice, I believe they call it. And we went in, and he called for me. And I went in, and I said, I'm not going to use his name, but I said, I didn't even give him a chance to talk. He called for me. I said, say these words. I know, I said, you need Jesus. Say these words. Led him to the Lord. And he's crying. And then I started to pray. And I laid hands on him and I started to minister to him. All his family came in. The doctors called his family. They all flew in from Calgary. They all left because I couldn't work with unbelief. So it was me and him one-on-one. And my mom. My mom was there with me. And we started to pray and laid hands on him. Or was it Tracy? It was Tracy. And I just felt peace. We just told him, you're healed. Believe it. We left. Today that, you know, how was it? A couple weeks after he was home, skin back to the same color. I mean, they called his family, and family probably was kind of angry they wasted money, and, well, they maybe got to see him. But the doctors gave him up. But Jesus loved him and healed him. Oh. We need to understand that God is love. This is what I'm going to talk. I'm going to finish in 2 minutes. In Mistissini. If you look on the map, it's under the Q on Quebec on Google Maps. But there's something in my spirit that we need to understand. In order to get to the glorious church, our love life, I'm not talking about the carnal life, I'm talking about the love of God in our life, has to come to the forefront. Faith will not work without love. Healing will not work without love. Because God is love. Amen? He is love. Then we're going to, I believe, something is going to happen. It's progressing. I could talk about, we just did a study on the fear of the Lord by John Bevere. The fear is not, you have to understand, there is a demonic fear that Goliath tried to put fear into David. But David ran towards Goliath. No fear. But then there's a fear of the Lord that we must understand. We hate what God hates. We love what God loves. We embrace, or I should say embrace. It's not something that we are scared, but it's a reverence. We heard just the other day, some of the things we do, what we do in church, would we take that to our boss? And I know some of our some of our church members, it was a wake-up call. Would I show up 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever? You know, would I do that at my workplace? How long would I work? Do I give my all in church? I'm not saying it right. Would I give 10% of my effort in church, but give 100% of my effort at work? Why do we put God second? There comes a time that we must reverence and understand who He is. Can you sense His presence in this place? You have to come to the place where we put everything aside and we just love on Him. We just thank Him. God is building up His church in these last days. Something is happening. His glory, it's getting stronger and stronger. We are a part of that. I want everybody to say that. We are a part of that. We are a part of that. He didn't set apart some churches. Some churches will make it, some churches won't. No, He's coming back for a glorious church. That means health and wealth and success is for you because He loves you. He loves you so much He gave His Son upon the cross. And when we talk about communion, that bread, that represents, it's just not a ceremony. It's an act of faith that we remember the price that Jesus paid. By His stripes you are healed. His body was broken for you. Amen. And we receive it by faith. And then the juice that represents the blood that was shed for you, that there'd be nothing, no thing standing in between you and the Father. That's what the blood washes everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just all stand for a moment. There's so much I want to say. There's so much. As I said, I can go on and on and on. But understand, there is a difference between healing. If you got prayed for healing, don't base it on what you feel. Base it upon what God said about you and the price that Jesus paid for you. And start to get into those scriptures and walk it out. Walk it out. I know many people go and they follow and they go to the healing evangelist, or to, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is in this place. Amen. He's in you. You received Him. And by His Spirit, I want to tell you, He loves you. And He doesn't want to see anybody hurt. So in that, He's coming for a church that will not back down, but will keep going forward.